Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I close it, John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Oh, he kept it rolling even after the loss. Okay, Amit. Fellas, how we doing?
Not bad.
Jimmy T.
For the playoffs.
Bobby Manning, Joe Sway here after a L. Celtics L. Big one. 91-104. Ugly from the start. A couple of interesting things happened in this game. We'll get into them all. Giannis going down on this one. We'll get into that certainly, but that's probably the biggest thing to come out of this game is that Giannis went down with. I want to make sure.
What was the injury, Jimmy?
I want to make sure I get it right here. Giannis left the game with. Okay, we're calling it a calf strain on our show. I think the official left soleal something or other.
Come on, man. Say it with your chest. Go on. Say it with some confidence.
I'm going to look it up now. Damn it. Should have been prepared. But
you nailed it right before we started.
But I forget what it is.
Well, it's a part of the calf.
It's part of the calf. Absolutely. It's right. His left calf. He was just walking. Left soleus strain. So I said it right, soleus.
Left soleus.
He was just like walking after the Celtics scored and all of a sudden just kind of fell to the ground or you know. And so anytime you see that, a non-contact injury.
Left solar eclipse.
The last thing. Yeah, left solar eclipse. There it is. It's exactly what it is.
Yes.
It's the last thing you want to see as a Bucks fan and as an NBA fan. So there was
a nickname for it. Yeah.
There was a tweet that came out somebody named Dr. Evan Jeffries at Game Injury Doc. He's a Twitter doctor at the very least. He said it looks like a calf strain and time of healing will be dependent on severity. Grade 1 to 2 weeks, grade 2 3 to 6 weeks. Grade 3 likely out for the season/playoffs. So I think we all
hope it's a win for them.
It's a grade 1 at worst, I think is what we all hope. But yeah, other than that, Bucks with a convincing win, I would say. And the Celtics went on their run when Giannis did leave the game. However, Bucks came out pretty hot in the fourth and they re-extended that lead again and they kept the Celtics at bay. It was a very slow start for Boston. You had Tatum and Brown missing just about everything in that first half. Tatum got hot in the third quarter, but still overall a down performance from those two. Bobby, you had mentioned it during the game, just some questionable decisions at times for those two. And Josue, I know you probably felt similar. And then one thing we got to say, guys, off the top, the stat of the year, maybe. 0 free throw attempts for the Boston Celtics tonight, and just 2 free throw attempts for the Bucks. It's the first time ever that the Celtics have not taken a free throw in a game.
Any team.
So make of that what you will. Is it any team?
NBA history. Any team. That's never happened in the NBA.
I knew it was Celtics. So history was made tonight. The Celtics just said, you know what? We're not gonna, you know, try to drop fouls and go to the line. Although there were some plays at the rim where I thought could have gone either way. You could have called a foul, could have let it play. And the refs just swallowed the whistle and let them play tonight. So it was a physical game, but not a single damn free throw taken tonight. First time in NBA history.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's kind of laughable. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, I'm not going to get too fired up about it because the game's meaningless, but kind of unacceptable to not get to the line a few times here, guys. What are we doing here?
Should there be a minimum? I'll take it in a game like this. You just want to get in and out of here, and that's probably what the refs were thinking because these teams.
Why get on the plane, I said.
Yeah, man. Everyone is taking these
I think games. That's what everyone's thinking right now. Joe Mazzulla has said they want to win all these games down the stretch. I think they've played like that. I think they've coached like it, and they've sat guys where the medical staff says they should. But other than that last game of the year where I think they'll probably sit everybody down, they're just going to play it out because they have a week off, Jimmy. You're going to get rusty if you sit for 2 weeks here. So you got to play it out. It's obviously half-hearted. There's nothing to play for right now. There's nothing to prove. I think Joe even said as much a game or two ago. there's zero left for him to see from this starting group. They've figured everything out that they need to do. It's more about reacting to what opponents are going to do. And that's what I think you can pull from this game, if anything, is that the Bucks make an adjustment going in, put Patrick Beverley in the starting lineup. I haven't liked that Malik Beasley look for them all year, and it actually worked. I think they're 4-1 now when Beverley starts. He looked really good attacking the defense that was shading away from him. Usually they put Cornette on him in those second units and just have him float away from them, and he hit shots. But the most impressive thing he did is take the space that was given to him, and he would go in the lane and just fire off those hook shots, and you know, he looked effective doing it. He did the same thing last game. I thought the Bucks looked pretty good against the Celtics last game as well, even in a loss. No Giannis, of course, in that game. So this is that balance we're striking here, Jimmy. I think the Bucks have played the Celtics well this year, but it's hard to believe if they're the 2 seed that they're going to reach the East Finals the way they've been playing overall this year. And so that's the debate we're going to have is, do you believe in this Bucks team at all? Because coming into the year, you're thinking it's these two teams, Eastern Conference Finals is inevitable. Joe Sway, I feel like there's no chance this team makes these finals as a 2 seed.
Yeah, that's a really tough road for these guys if you're looking at the potential opponents. But yeah, I mean, I just think when you look at what happened today, you know, between Doc Rivers essentially calling guys out, what was it, about a week ago or so, this team just not being able, it doesn't even matter who they're playing against. They just haven't been able to close games or come together, come away with a win. So I just feel like they were really coached up for this game, you know, and big way, the way Dr. Versorge just has particular games circled on his calendar, not necessarily as quote unquote benchmarks or whatever, or not benchmark, but you know, not necessarily as like, oh, let's see how good we are compared to this team. But it was more of a, hey, let's win this game at all, no matter what, you know, at all costs, and with no Porzingis and no Al Horford. You know, the team just looked very different out there in terms of what they're trying to do, you know, offensively and especially on defense. I just felt like it had like a preseason vibe to it, you know. It seemed like these guys were kind of just like going through the motions, like going through sets. I mean, the Celtics defense looked like a turnstile out there, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, not only did the Celtics not get to the free throw line, but the Bucks only got a couple, you know what I mean? And they only they were whistled for 4 fouls, I believe, is what I'm reading, which is I think they tied the minimum or the fewest in franchise history.
Fewest ever in an NBA game, 4 fouls committed by the Bucks tonight.
Is that in an NBA game or their franchise?
No, in an Milwaukee's 4 fouls is the fewest ever in an NBA game.
It's just a weird game. I mean, clearly they were letting these guys play, but at the same time, I mean, you look at that, we've seen this version of the Celtics before. It's just like that effort just wasn't there at all, and it came and went, I felt like. But you know, after Giannis went down, they did have a chance somewhat to get to make it a 2-possession game or so, and you know, they just weren't able to do it. You know, at that, even in the fourth quarter, I think it was still about a 12-point game or so. But yeah,
I don't take anything from the Celtics in this one, Jimmy. It's meaningless. There's nothing to play for in this game. You're probably experimenting still on different stuff as they have been. I think Porzingis said a week ago or so that they're doing stuff people don't even see, just trying to fool around and figure out what works. And Joe said it's a little more deliberate than that, and it's stuff that they've been doing all year, just at a higher volume. But you knew this was coming, and they happened last time they were up here too. It was a similar situation where you have a built-in excuse, 5 games in 7 days, they're blowing off the court. I was actually surprised Joe didn't pull the starters at halftime again. And he ends up pulling them about midway through the fourth quarter there after that awful Tatum turnover. But a one-off road trip like this against a team that really needed it. And again, the Bucks really needed this. Magic pulling within a game of them. Knicks pulling within a game of them. 4 straight losses. This is desperation time for them. And they came out, you know, all the sloppiness Joe Sway mentions valid, but they came out firing. Lopez hit 4 threes right now.
Those threes in the first, yeah, man. First quarter, yeah.
In control for most of this game. Giannis was assertive. He had that awesome chase down block on Brown midway through the game. So they played with some fire. It was a great crowd. And they do some things that bother the Celtics, Jimmy. There's no doubt about it. The shooting, the drop defense, taking away the paint. All that's going to be interesting to watch if these two teams meet in a series. But again, it's just so hard to believe that the Bucks is going to flip a switch. Flipping a switch, Jimmy, is something that teams that have been together for years do. Won a championship, you're a little bored with the regular season. The Cavs did it all the time after that 16 title. You don't just put a team together on a dime like this, not figure anything out in the first regular season, and then the playoffs just say, all right, it's go time, and then look amazing. I just can't picture it.
No, I've always been a huge proponent of not being able to just assume the switch is going to be turned on. All that being said, though, you know, the Celtics lost this one. I think we all kind of thought that they might lose this one. That being said, I would have liked to have seen some things a little bit differently. I mean, you are getting minutes from Tillman. You're still getting Hauser minutes. You're getting Pritchard minutes. Like
Tillman and things, Cornette didn't have great
Cornette,
nights. Yeah.
Cornette was getting, you know, and I thought the Celtics were slow on rotations. I thought the Bucks were getting to the rim a little bit easier and backdoor cuts and things like that, where you want to see them, even though there's nothing on the line for the Celtics and there's still a lot in line for the Bucks. You'd still like to see them compete a little bit harder if they're going to be out there anyways. That's just human nature. You should want to compete.
Right.
I'll be honest. It reminded me what the Bucks are capable of when they are playing good basketball. And I said this to you guys, it's hard to sleep on a Bucks team that has, you know, when healthy, and that's going to be the huge thing now with Giannis. But with Giannis and Lillard, I mean, you can't deny those two guys' greatness. Giannis has his championship. Lillard obviously doesn't yet. But that's a 1-2 punch that when they're on their game, it's hard to beat, you know. And obviously you could say Tatum Brown and you can say, you know, Murray Jokic, and you got to put Lillard and Giannis right up there at the top. So that's why, Bobby, I don't think I'm as confident as you are that the Bucks won't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, even though they have struggled throughout the course of this year. And there's a lot of reasons to believe that they won't, you know, go to the NBA Finals or win a title again. I still think they can catch fire. And I still think the East is wide open. And, you know, like the Sixers, they're dealing with injuries with Embiid. And you've got the Knicks who are now dealing with injuries. Like there's a path for the Bucks to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't think anybody would be shocked to see that happen. So when the two teams meet, as they have recently, and the Bucks, you know, do their thing against Boston in multiple instances, whether or not you think that means anything or not, because the Celtics might not be giving it their all, it's still something to take note of. It's still right. Something to call back on and to say, okay, yeah, like this isn't just a bunch of slouches. You know, this is, you know, even Middleton, God, if Middleton just decides that he wants to be Middleton and Celtics killer again, like that's a completely different basketball team. And yeah, that's a big butt because he hasn't been the Middleton of, you know, past seasons or past, you know,
since
3, 4, 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we know it's in there, and I saw him do a nice little move over Pritchard tonight.
I like the way he's looked this year. It's not old Chris, but it's better than the last couple of years.
Right. And I mean, Pat Beverly, again, a little bit undersized and kind of hit or miss.
I love him. I really
He's got a
do.
Great attitude. Good, yeah. You know, pest guy out there. He will certainly bring the intensity in the playoff atmosphere. And there's a lot of things to still like if you're a Bucks fan. Obviously, this all goes, you know, without saying that Giannis has to be healthy, and who knows how that's going to end up playing out. Hopefully he is. I want to see healthy. I want to see
how you feel about the coach
matchup. Doc is Doc, man. I don't think Doc is ever going to be the reason you win or ultimately lose. I think he's a player's coach. As
I love him to death, Jimmy. It's just the results are stacking up so heavily against them.
Maybe, but it's
and
also
he's in a tough
really
spot
did,
this
he,
year.
He's putting
it, yeah, this very is a tough spot. We got to reserve that grade for next year, you know. But
it's difficult for anybody.
Not always the case. I mean, even something like this, if they're a first round knockout, would you guys be shocked if they say, you know what, Doc, we're gonna go a different route? I mean, it really depends, I guess, on Giannis.
No,
so
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
But I don't think that would be fair. But you know, we've seen this before in the NBA, so it wouldn't shock me. But yeah, he deserves at least another full season, I should say, because this was like right before the All-Star break. This was messy, you know, in more ways than one. But yeah,
I mean, it's been a very interesting year for the Bucks, and obviously the head coach switch that kind of came out of nowhere highlights that whole thing. And certainly, things haven't really necessarily gotten better since that's happened. I think the Bucks are right around .500, if that, with Doc as the head coach. I think they came into this one maybe one or two below.
Doc's, Doc's consultant days. Yeah.
Yeah. But that comment just said it. It's going to be a checkers match between Joe and Doc in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's not Doc's as if the 16 Celtics
and 17 is
there. You go. It's a game below. So, you know, it comes down to, we say it comes down to talent in this league more than anything. Sure, it's nice to have a great coach, Spoelstra and Popovich, and you can go down the line with some really good coaches, Kerr. But those guys also have, in at least some cases, Kerr, tons of talent. And at the end of the day, the players have to go out there and play the game. And Doc or Joe, theoretically, shouldn't be the reason they win or lose a series. They can probably lose you a series before they can win you a series, both of them.
I think you're more worried just because of how the bracket's lining up about Miami, about Philly, about that looming first round series that's looking about as tough as a first round series can be than this Bucks team reaching through. Because, again, they're in the same spot you are kind of, right? Because it's going to be Sixers Heat probably in that play-in game. The winner's going to move on to the Bucks if the Bucks clinch the two seed. And so you're talking about a Heat-Bucks rematch. Obviously, the Heat took that last year, injured Giannis, but now he's injured again. And then Philly Sixers. I mean, Philly Bucks. That's tough, too. Is Giannis ready to stand in there with Embiid, who's looking really good since he's been back, with a leg that isn't 1,000% right? You know, if he's ready to even go for a first-round series at all. Time's on Giannis' side here. We obviously don't know what it is, but you get that whole next week off. This win, again, so huge for them to get that two-game cushion on two. They have a tiebreaker over the Knicks, but they have to play the Magic twice before the season ends. So they got to probably just take one of those Magic games, and they should be good at two. So, again, they're not in your bracket. Celtics going to play that 4-5 series round two. So you're talking about this team having to figure it out, Jimmy, if the Celtics are going to see them. They're not just going to – I guess they could win like 2 6-7-game series and just sneak into these finals, kind of play like they have all year. Mm-hmm. But I'm not betting on it. I just –
Who's your favorite then?
I like the Knicks all
even
year.
Even with the injuries?
Wow. Yeah. That was my favorite before the injuries.
I think they have a mentality. I think they have a clutch player at the point of attack who can steal games. I think they have a great wing defender who's back now, an OG. And Mitchell Robinson's back now as well. So you're not going to get Randall back. But Joe Sway, you know how Randall's played in the playoffs. It's not like he was actually an asset to
them. Yeah, obviously they don't need him. He's trash.
No, they need him, but he has struggled immensely in the postseason. So it's going to be a different dynamic this year.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, Bobby. I was going to say it's unfortunate because that's something that he can have under his belt. You know, that he needs that experience. He needs those reps. He needs those opportunities to, you know, get back into it. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like since that 1 year where it was like, oh, He's quiet. His naysayers, you know, he was
on a bad team that first run, and then this last one wasn't great. I think he was banged up,
right? But I feel like about 2 months ago or so, when like the hype was at its, you know, highest with the New York Knicks and they're back and all that, like that's good for these guys and it's good for the league. Let's be honest, man. I was kind of hoping we'd see like a Celtics Knicks matchup, you know, second round series. Maybe I run into Miss New York Knicks. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Like, yeah, oh God. That's Mrs. New York Knicks.
The way the season started, that would have been a great, you know, full circle moment. And I've never, I mean, Jimmy and I, we saw that first round matchup against the Celtics, you know, Celtics Knicks, but we rarely see Celtics and Knicks.
By the way, to this guy, the Pacers have dominated, and you've said this, Jimmy, the Pacers have dominated the Bucks this year.
They have. That would be a tough one for the Bucks. Yeah. End up with in the first round. Before we get too wrapped up in matchups, I want to just circle back to this game. And we do have a clip here from Coach Mazzulla.
This is going to drive everybody crazy.
Well, let's see. Let's see. This is Coach Joe after the game here.
What we got?
No, I think it's good for us to be in a bunch of different situations. So, like, that was the first time the game wasn't going our way since, you know, I don't remember when, you know what I mean? So, like, to me, it's like that's a good opportunity to just kind of play through that, find different ways to create runs, find different ways to just, you know, build stuff on either end of the floor. So I thought it was a good situation for us to be in because we hadn't seen it in a while. So it's good for us to be in that.
I mean, maybe it's true. Oops. At the same time, is anything ever bad?
No. Nothing is ever bad. Everything is awesome. Yeah, he's got spin. He's got like a spin machine, man. He can spin any negative into like
one of these nights. I don't pick the right games to say, coach,
you don't have to kill your team.
Right, but is it ever something that you were like,
is there something you can work on? Is there something that you're struggling with?
You know what I mean? Yeah. He doesn't use those type of vocab, you know, that type of vocabulary. It's always like promising or it's, you know, impressive or whatever. It's never like amazing and it's never, the sky's never falling. But yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else he could spin it. I mean, in his defense, it was a different situation.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting. Here's the thing, Jimmy, and you know, I heard something on the broadcast that intrigued me a little bit because I haven't heard him say this in a press or anything. I guess he told the broadcast or you know, whenever they came across this, he doesn't approach the playoffs any differently than the regular season. Like it's just all going to be the same thing for him. At least how I heard that.
Interesting.
I don't think that's a great way to approach it, right? And they had these situations last postseason, right? And it's a complete – I hate comparing this year to last year because it's too – the teams are so different. But when you get into real trouble in the – like if you have a loss like this in the playoffs, you know, not saying that they're going to, but if you do, you can't come out after that game and just be like, oh, it was great to go through this and, you know, we're going to learn from this and blah, blah. I said that to Joe Sway throughout the last postseason. You're going to get to a point in the playoffs, and they did last year down 3-0, where you can't just be like, oh, everything's fine, on to the next game, we're good.
Yeah, you did bring that up. That's right, Bobby. Yeah, after game 3, he completely changed his demeanor.
And they came back from that, and the even-keeled approach to me, Jimmy's good to some degree, right, because you're not panicking whether you're down 3-0 or whether you're down 20 in a game. Like, you're just – nonchalant about it and you can just approach it one possession at a time. So I think that's the good part of it. But at the same time, I think sometimes you have to be pissed about something that doesn't go well. And that's, again, tonight's not the time, but this is just how Missoula has always approached coaching this team, is that everything's always a lesson. Everything's great. He loved, you know, going through this bad loss, and you know, there's never any time where he doesn't like how the team played or responded or approached the situation.
That's Joe's mentality.
You need to have more of a sense of urgency in the playoffs. Simple as that. I mean, this is not the regular season where you can afford to lose a game or lose two in a row or play like crap. Right. Or not that happened a lot for them this year, to be completely honest, right? So I'm not saying get away from everything you did in the regular season, because certainly you had success, but other teams are going to be changing their mentality once the playoffs come around. You need to match their intensity. You need to match, you know, that level of, you know, whatever they're bringing on the other end. So you can't just approach every game like you approach the regular season. I think you have to take it game by game. What is that game going to need? You know? And so that's how I would if I was Joe. But I'm not.
Well,
so
yeah.
Joe's going to do what Joe's going to Joe. Right.
Joe's
before we get game. Into yeah, the no, next thing. Guys, also huge announcement that I'm going to make after this ad read about the champion of the CLNS.
There was a UConn style finish to the March Madness broadcast bracket.
Yes. Ooh, yes, there was.
This is what we call a tease. Good job, Jimmy. That was good.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is so easy to play. I can make my Celtic picks and make my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals and easy gameplay and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Celtics and NBA fans, you can get in on Prize Picks in 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On Prize Picks this week, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
Everybody.
What we got.
Speaking of Luke, I don't want to tell my thing. Damn it. Drum roll, please, because we do have the results of the 2024 Garden Report March Madness. Your champion is...
He's your third center. Knew it. Yes.
Belt right here.
With the steel.
What do you want to be a third center? There you go. What do you want to be a third center? Do we have the clip originally? Yeah, we have it right here. Let's play it real quick. Remind everybody.
Here we go. Here's the champion.
Here's the moment it all happened. Come on, producer boy. It's loading.
I know. I feel like we need to talk more before this. Okay, here we go.
We got to let this thing load again. All right, let's
give it a second. There it goes.
We'll give it a second. But anyways, so he's your third center. Apparently really beat the bricks off Luke's Lemon Squares. It was just...
Well, Luke's Lemon Squares is a little old at this point. I mean, it had great staying power to even reach the finals.
It's been around. And listen, this is, you know, I will say he's your third center kind of played the role of NC State, where they got hot, right, going into the tournament, and they rode it all the way. But NC State couldn't seal the deal. He's your third center could. And that's going to be your reigning. That's going to be your champion throughout.
I'm still pissed we didn't see third center versus the Fart. I think that could have been a finals level matchup in the final four.
I think that Herman Gomez region was just stacked. There are a couple of really good ones that somebody had to win. Let's see. We'll try it again here. The origin of he's your third center. If we can get this freaking thing to work. Why isn't this working?
What do you want us to do? Cut him? You know, like he gets really...
Yeah, what do you want for your third center? He's your third center, John.
I hate the Luke talk, and I hate the Tillman talk.
We keep criticizing this guy.
What do you want from him?
And done more than anyone has ever expected, except me. He's your third center. That's what we get.
I love it.
He won't be third center. Right there.
And there it is. So I think we're going to have a t-shirt coming.
I think we might t-shirt, stickers, maybe put it on a mug. We got to get Gelso to What do you want for your third center? It's a little drop happy right now. He's going to be playing that for the rest of the night. All right. So congrats to Luke on that, at least, and his first three-pointer of the year tonight. We got a clip here from Doc Rivers. Speaking of Doc Rivers, I think this is talking about Giannis and the concern level.
Question, high, I would say that. But, you know, Giannis, I think everyone probably feels the same way as I do right now. So we're just going to hope for the best.
Ooh.
Yikes. Hi. So little change of tune, I think, from the in-game.
It was a little bit of an ominous sight, wasn't it, Josue? It looked like some of those other injuries we've seen over the years. But, again, tough to tell.
Bobby and I, we were just talking about the back when KG got hurt in 09. What was that, a couple months ago? We were at the Garden. And that's the scariest part of it, is when it's non-contact, right? I mean, it's similar to – what happened to Garnett? Went for a rebound, came down, and just popped. You know,
this was even less than that. He was just breaking into his run, and then boom.
Yeah, he was just in a stride. That's a good point. Yeah, but a lot of times, no contact, happen on your own. Historically, those are usually the more devastating ones. But
I'm thinking more Durant. You saw Durant in those finals come up lame, or I think even before the finals. I think it was the West Finals that year. Missed some time with the calf strain, come back pretty quickly for the finals, and then tear his Achilles. So I don't know. Anytime you hear calf, you start to worry about Achilles. And even the calf itself can cost some time. So, again, they're going to be extremely cautious with this. I can't imagine him playing again the regular season. If he needs to miss time into that first round, I mean – you got to do what you got to do to keep them healthy, especially long term. So this is a scary one if you're the Bucks. And
that's tough. I mean, they're toast. They're obviously toast if they get Giannis at less than 100%, right? Or even close to it. But you're right, Bobby. I mean, this
– and you can't play around with it.
Highly unlikely that he's going to touch the court until the playoffs. Yeah, so he's got, what, 2 weeks off now to rest it? you got to hope that it's a grade one and that, you know, maybe he can give it a go and, you know, for the start of whoever they end up playing in the opening series, opening round. But other than that, that's tough. You know, there's
a Gnosis time.
No team can overcome something like that, obviously.
Between now and the
Gnosis,
the start of the playoffs, it's the Gnosis time.
I mean, it's Lloyd. Lloyd's got to put this team on his shoulders now.
No, he didn't come here to put it on his shoulders. He came here to sit on Giannis's shoulders, man.
And it's just another, like, man, when it rains, it pours for Damian Lillard. Like, jeez.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to find some momentum going into the postseason, and then this happens. Like, you beat the best team in the NBA. You mop them all over the floor. And then
– yeah.
It's like, oh, you still can't sleep at night, you know? Like, poor Damian. He has already opened up.
He's already up. How about a second round matchup, Bobby?
Miserable he's been in that city. He's pretty much damn near depressed and playing video games. That's all he does because, like, man, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
They could fall to four. Tonight makes it a little more difficult, though. I mean, again, this is a big win for them in the standings. I can't see them falling to four. I think they're going to be two. But, you know, if you lose out, it's possible.
Right. No, anything's possible. Who is three right now?
The Magic coming into the day, but they lost, and I believe the Knicks won. So it's going to be the Knicks.
Okay. I wanted to put up let's put Jaylen Brown up here because we had a super chat come through that I missed earlier, and I might as well toss it up now so you guys can answer it. What's the concern meter on Brown in the left hand? Do you think it's time for him to sit the final three games?
No.
That was, again, after.
We've been through this already. It's.
Thank you, Jared.
Not a real.
14 points, 7 of 19 from the field. Didn't hit a three tonight. 10 boards.
I mean, maybe that last one. You know, I don't think any of the stars would be playing that last game against the Wizards. But outside of that,
right,
get some reps going, you know, especially since you passed the eye test initially, your first game back from the injury. And
I wouldn't say he looked very good tonight, though.
Well, not tonight, two nights ago, I should say. I'm saying, like, the game when he first came back from missing games because of this, everyone's kind of like, okay, let's see what he looks like. So I think he kind of spelled any concerns, you know, between now until something else happens or whatever. But yeah, I just think that he really convinced us already in his first game back.
Right. Yeah, I'm done talking about the hand.
Oh, you're done talking about it.
I mean, what are we getting?
Take away Bobby's part of that super chat. Man, Jared trying to chime in.
Wow, Jared. No, here's Jared. I appreciate it, Jared.
Yeah, Bobby, appreciate you.
I'm going to be John tonight. We're not going to, after every game he plays great the rest of the way.
He asked for the concern meter. It's actually a panic meter. So you're at Bobby. Bobby, you're at Bobby.
Well, I see what you're just saying, Bobby. You're just saying he just plays.
I don't think the hand is what's going to swing.
Yeah.
So if he plays great, it's not going to be woo. And then when he plays bad, it's not going to be, oh, it's the hand. Like, that's right. We're not doing that in the playoffs, especially with like a week off here after this. There's zero concern about the hand to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
We ain't doing it. Okay, so what, if any, concerns right now, April 9th, 2024, do you have about this Celtics team with three regular season games to go? Do you have any?
I just want to I just want to see what kind of tricks Joe Mazzulla has in his bag at the end of the games. In the playoffs, not in this week or in the upcoming games and all that. Like, when he says that whole, like, everything we do now, there's no changing or there's no adding a special, you know, sets or whatever in the playoffs, I hope he's lying to us because, I mean, as he should be, you don't have to go out there and be like, hey, look out for the postseason, man. We'll have all these tricks lined up and all that. No, I'm not saying you have to go out and say that, but I just hope he has that in his bag. And obviously, it's not just him. Same way he credits his coaching staff every single time he receives an accolade for coach of the month and, you know, being a candidate for coach of the year, he gives those guys credit, and it's rightfully so, right? But these guys have experience between Charles Lee, champion assistant coach, Sam Cassell, champion as a player, been around the league for over a decade now, you know, became assistant coach right after winning that last championship in 08 with the Celtics. Like, they can come up with some stuff. You know what I mean? Between the three of those guys, like, there's no reason why we should see some type of play at the end that doesn't always and so Tatum, and let's hope he makes a shot. You know, Derek White, you can get involved in there as well. Drew Holiday, Chris Stapps, who sometimes I feel like barely touches the ball if there's less than a minute left on the clock. So I think that's the only one that I can really think of that's you know, hanging out, still there until further notice when the playoffs start.
Yeah, it's crunch time, like Joe Sway said. They haven't played well in those spots all year. They've had some notable slip-ups in those situations over the last month or two here. So they're not going to have a game left, I don't think. Maybe Thursday, if everybody plays as their kind of last hurrah before the playoffs. Maybe that ends up being your crunch time. I know the Knicks got a big win tonight, close-ish game against Chicago. But odds are you have no crunch time finishes, last second finishes left this regular season. So those couple games in Atlanta were kind of a sour taste to leave off on. So can you win those close games that grind down to the final seconds? Because I don't care how good this team looked during the regular season, you're not going to go through the playoffs, Jimmy, without crucial games that are 1-2 possessions in the final minute or two. That's just the name of the game in the playoffs. So you got to find ways to win those. You got to have more flexibility in those spots, as Joe Sway said. It's the only issue you can predict with this team. And listen, I know, John, we were on our thread earlier. We were saying if playoff regular season, it's tough to anticipate what teams are going to look like on the other side of that because the game's so different. But I think outside of crunch time, the Celtics have just dominated and done it in so many different ways offensively that you believe in them on that end. The defense, I think overall has met the mark this year. They've maybe had a few slip ups in recent weeks here, and rebounding in different spots hasn't been as good as it should be. But I think on the whole this year and at full health going into the playoffs, I think you have enough flexibility defensively to play at the highest level. In fact, I think if you really lock in on defense, you can be the best defense in the playoffs by far with the personnel you have. So offense, I feel good about. Defense, I feel good about. It's just crunch time, like Joe Sway said. That's the only issue you can anticipate this team running into. I guess the only other one is, you know, even if we throw out this matchup, if it happens down the line, is Tatum the best player in a series, in every series? Because that's part of the playoff dynamic, too, is usually the best player in the series is going to win it. That could be a question round one right away. If you're playing the Heat, who Butler has outplayed, where Butler has outplayed Tatum in the past. Embiid is capable, talent-wise, of doing it. He hasn't done it in their many meetings so far, so I wouldn't be as concerned about him, especially coming off an injury. But you have Giannis, if he's healthy, and some other guys in this postseason, even a Jalen Brunson, who has just been phenomenal all year. So I guess that's the only other one is, can Tatum be the best player in a series every single round? Because he's going to have to win a championship, but he's also going to have to trust this incredibly deep team they've put around him as well.
That's a great question, Bobby, because I feel like when
Jokic, obviously, too,
this past week or so with the comparisons with the OG team, well, I guess now it's out the window since they lost this game. The 66 wins is not in play, but you know, there was a question that was presented when I was on EEI over the weekend, and then I presented it to Max. I kind of been trying to see everyone's take on it. I'm gonna ask you guys, like, where do you in terms of like comparing the two teams, and I know it's hard because they're very different, you know, in the sense of they already had future Hall of Famers on that squad. They're already hovering around the 30s or over the 30s and all that. So there's a lot of different, you know, different things you can take away when you compare them. But one of the things that stands out, and I wonder if it's going to happen in the playoffs because I've seen it time and time again when the Celtics are worse, and that's just like that defensive turnstile, I call it, or whatever, where it's just like, what's going on right now? Why can't they get a stop? And they just can't stop the bleeding. And then all of a sudden it's like a 22-3 run or something crazy or wacky like that. Like, that happens a lot throughout the regular season, or at least in games where they've looked awful. And I just wonder if that's ever going to happen in the playoffs, especially in those first couple of rounds against some of these teams that Celtics are already heavily favored against. And, you know, and then another part of it, if you ask me, is in terms of the differences between that old team and this team. The other part of it is what we're going to see out of Tatum. You know, like, is he going to just go off the way he has? And listen, I get it. He has a track record. He has some historic performances already, you know, under his belt. but will he take it to another level? And if that's the case, man, we could be into something. We could be in for a very, very special postseason. One of those playoffs where we look back and say, man, like, this dude brought it every series, you know, like he really quieted the people that were, you know, questioning his heart and all that stuff. And, you know, I guess some of that talk has died down a bit, but it's sort of still there though, right? You know, moments where people say like, man, he's got to be more rah-rah, or he's got to rally the troops more often, you know, comparing his personality to trying to be someone he's not. You know, that's something that we've talked about in the past, but I just wonder how it all comes together for Tatum, especially on nights where it's like, man, you got it on right now. You're the best player in this series, and it's not even close. Like, will he reach that level? You know, it's in the cards. It could happen for sure. I mean, we've seen it before. So,
for me, it's just no more teaching moments, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. If you're Mizzou, that's why you can't go in with the same.
It's go time.
Yeah,
right.
We can't be talking about good lessons learned and this and that. Like that's regular season mentality. That's the positive spin absolutely. That you want to have. So for me, it's like, you better have learned all your lessons. You have three more games to learn the rest of them. And then, yeah, there's no more teaching moments here. This is
the time be great, where you Jimmy.
Practice what you've learned. What's that?
Just like 2022, where you had a similar team rolling into the playoffs with all this momentum and you felt great about them. Just smoke the team you see right off the bat, even if it's Miami or Philly. Winning four, winning five. That'll change everything, right? Not only for us, we'll be looking at them and going, ooh, all right. I'm believing in this a little more now. But also for them. Like, that'll change everything for them. You get by that Miami team, that's really the only team outside of Denver that has your number right now. And you do it in that decisive of a fashion. I mean, who can mess with you mentally from that point on, in the East at least?
That's why I 100%. Want them to play Miami. Right? That'd be great, because it would kind of, I mean, let's face
right
it,
now, the offseason,
it could lead to some drastic changes in Miami. Like, you could really like put them into a tailspin right now if the Celtics were to knock them out in the first round. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, there was a report today, Jimmy.
This is how far you guys are from it, you know?
There was a report today, I think in Yahoo, maybe. I don't know exactly who reported. Oh, actually, the Ira Windermann, who covers the Heat down there. Jimmy Butler's going to want Jaylen Brown money, if not more.
Oh, is that so? I bet he does.
He's been hanging out with
him. I don't know if he's...
Soccer stars too much, man. They must have gotten his head. Like, yo, you need to get that bag, Jimmy.
How old is he now?
I think 34.
He's not getting Jaylen Brown money. He's not getting Jaylen Brown money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it'll be 35 next season.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get paid for the next couple of years for sure. But what are we really talking about here? But
they might have no choice. We'll see.
So 76ers win. What's up?
Right now, I don't know after tonight because this doesn't update until overnight, but 26% chance the Celtics see the Heat round one, 25% chance they see the Sixers.
So it's a toss up.
Yeah, but 50% chance, effectively.
49% chance they see six other teams. Well, Sixers won tonight. Pacers won tonight. Heat won tonight. Knicks won tonight. Magic lost tonight. So they were the lone team in any sort of running that didn't keep pace with everybody else. But yeah, that middle of the pack there, that 3, 4, 5 – that can just go any which way right now. You know, Magic, Knicks, Cavs. You got the Pacers there at 6. We're not going to know, guys. We're not going to know until what?
Sunday.
Obviously we're not going to know until the play-in game is over, but we're not even going to know what those games are until Sunday, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
It's really coming down to,
I mean, Hawks Bulls is set. And again, the Pacers won again tonight, so their magic number is 2. I think you can just bet on it being Sixers Heat 7-8 at this point. I think it's that set in stone. There's a, let's say, 42% chance that the Sixers are the 7 seed going into that, 50% chance that the Heat are the 8 seed going into it. So it's pretty much, I mean, that Pacers win over the Heat almost set it in stone on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to really see an Indiana collapse, Orlando collapse, Cleveland collapse. And I think everything's going to stay pretty much the same. You're probably going to see like a Magic Pacers, Magic Cavs first round, and like a Knicks Pacers, Knicks Cavs, Knicks Magic kind of first round.
Here it is. Did you put this up, Bobby?
No, I think that was Amit.
Oh, I'm gonna get a playoff picture here for those watching on YouTube right now.
As so you again, can this see, sometimes gets confusing for people.
Yeah. The Break Sixers, it down, Bobby.
The Sixers are gonna play the Heat. Or whoever's 7 or 8. It's probably gonna be Sixers Heat. Whoever wins that's gonna move on to 2, which is probably gonna be the Bucks. The loser of that will play the winner of Bulls Hawks. The loser of Bulls Hawks is obviously out. And then the winner of, let's say, Hawks Heat plays the Celtics.
Or Bulls Heat.
Which I thought was going to happen last year, but it didn't.
It's kind of a shame that the Bulls and the Hawks even have a chance.
Right. There should be a cutoff, right? If you're this far below.
Yeah. It didn't work this year in the East. Out West, it worked exactly how I imagine everyone in the NBA offices wanted it, because you have Lakers, Warriors as the 9 and 10 teams right now. So you're giving them an opportunity to make the playoffs. And obviously that would be a boost for ratings if either of those teams made it over, you know, the Pelicans and the Kings. Although we like the young guys on those teams. Like if you're an NBA junkie, you like that. But if you're a casual, you're obviously Lakers, Warriors. So it works out in the West for the NBA, but out in the East, I mean, does anybody want the Bulls or the Hawks to be in the playoffs anyways? Hell no. So
Amit wants the Hawks.
That's true. Amit does want the Hawks for his own selfish reasons, I think. But I think for entertaining standpoint, I think we can all agree a series against the Sixers.
I want the Heat. Josue wants the Heat. Jimmy, you want the Heat too, right?
I want the Sixers.
Really?
For entertainment purposes?
For entertainment purposes, it's good. For competitiveness reasons, it's good. But man, you're just going to get knocked to hell.
I know. I'm just talking about entertainment value. I mean, I guess if you can beat the crap out of the Heat and, you know, exercise that demon, that'd be cool too. But I like the Boston Philly like rivalry kind of thing.
Go play them in the East Finals.
Well, it's not going to happen, I don't think, this year.
Yeah.
You don't think they could beat the Bucks?
Well, if Giannis is hurt, they can. But if Giannis is playing, I think they can. Yeah, sure, they can.
That'd be a monster first round.
Yeah, it would be. No, I mean, if Philly.
It's crazy that they're the 7 and 8 seed.
And Embiid's playing pretty well, right?
Yeah, he's 27-7-3 so far.
He hasn't missed a beat. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they're definitely a team that's playing better and that is better than their seed right now.
Seed, yeah.
They
would be, 3-4 if Embiid never got hurt?
Yeah, I think
so. They're the scary one.
They were right in that 3-4 range. Guys, it's April. We've had I don't know where everyone's watching from right now, but in the New England area, we've had really nice back-to-back days here for the first time all year.
Jimmy? A
couple of 60-degree days. What's that, Bob?
I golfed yesterday.
Did you really?
Yep.
Well, if you did, I hope prior to that you went to pxg.com/garden and bought a bunch of stuff and saved.
Me and Joe Sway have our gear already.
On all apparel. Do you? Where is it? I want to see. I want to see that hat. Joe Sway, go get that hat. I'm going to finish this.
Go get it.
You should go get it. Anyways, pxg.com/garden, save 10% on all apparel, not just hats, guys. But you've got the zip ups, the polos, you've got the pants. Look at this. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you get a nice little reel of all the different apparel options that PXG now offers. You guys know them as a great golf club company, but they're now in the apparel game. Obviously, Bobby, what'd you get?
Got a nice white shirt, white hat. Okay. You know, the college shirt, you're seeing them here.
Polo.
Good polo for the course, and you need one of those hats. Breathable. When it's sunny out. Yeah. Nice and lightweight. Good to swing in. Felt good with the swing.
Yeah. The arms are free in it.
Yep. And here comes Josue right, with the hat.
The hat is fire, nice. But just the shirt goes even harder. I love this.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that's a sharp one.
That is a nice shirt. Bobby, you got a white one?
Great material, mine's all white. Man.
Wait, did you guys see one for me in the pile anywhere? Or did I miss mine? Josue,
forgot to check.
It's in the mail, Josue.
That looks really nice, man. Good for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, nice. I didn't know that's the one you got. That one looks amazing.
Maybe so don't miss out, guys.
Where's the hat?
Maybe Joso will you get the hat for me.
It's here somewhere, Bobby.
It's somewhere. It's here somewhere.
Is the hat blue too?
Yeah, it matches the shirt.
Awesome.
Oh, a little matchy-matchy. All right, I've got Elevate Your Style game on and off the course with PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Whether it's a blue matching polo hat or a white one that Bobby has, head over to pxg.com/garden, save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/garden to save 10% on all apparel. I'm going to have to, regardless of what they send me, I'm going to have to go over there and grab my own gear. Bobby, how'd the golf game go yesterday?
It was the first of the year, so you obviously had some rough stretches, but honestly, I had some
Shades of Thanasis on the course.
No, I mean, I'm not a disaster anymore, which is makes it fun. Like, as long as you're keeping it in play and, like, just moving along, you feel good about being out there. When you first start, obviously, though, and that's what I was going through, like, 2-3 years ago, you're hitting it in the water, you're hitting it over into the trees. Like,
that's
you're
golf,
just like,
baby.
Then you lose all your balls, and you're like, I'm done. I'm past that point, but I'm still not at the point where I'm, like, you know, going score for score with someone or even just, you know, tracking my score very deliberately. Yeah. So I'll be there probably.
Get some exercise. Try to break 100 this year, Bobby. How about that?
Damn.
That's a good goal. It depends on the course, though. We did Presidents in Quincy.
Nice.
Yesterday. And
did you
That's challenging.
That's not that far.
A bad day
me.
On the course beats any day in the office, you know?
Peabody. Tough one. Peabody's a really tough one. But
you went down
some
to
other
Quincy?
Ones around. Yeah, I went down to Quincy. My cousin lives
I'm
down there. Yo,
if you're in the South Shore, hit me up, Bobby. I'm where I'm at. I'm down here.
Yeah, I think the Garden Report's supposed to have an outing soon enough. We'll see who wins.
Ooh, I would like that. I got to get to the range before that happens, though.
Yeah, same.
Got to get to the range. All right, boys. Anything else in this game or anything around the league that you want to hit on before we wrap it here?
Real quick, I don't know if we have a thing for it. I forgot to mention it, but shout out to Nemesh Kata signing a 15th roster spot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we called that happening. I think you said it was going to happen at the last game of the year, but they gave him what? They gave him a little bonus, Bobby, for his troubles or what? Like, what was the reasoning to wait and or not wait to a certain time?
Probably just did it to make sure they had him for all of the last four games if they needed him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Porzingis and Horford were out tonight, but you didn't need him anyway. Things were locked up. I don't know exactly why they did the timing the way they did, but sounds like it's a multi-year deal. That's not my reporting, but I saw that out there. I haven't locked down exactly what the structure is, but usually with something like this, you'd sign him for the rest of the year, have a non-guaranteed year. Then you can restructure something over the summer to sign him long term if you want to keep him. So it's just to get ahead of that free agency he was going to be facing, and probably don't need him in the playoffs now that Tillman's here. But it's not a bad idea to just have him. The only debate you'll have here is the one we had the other night of would you rather have him or would you rather have Ben at that last spot if you decide to just keep him around. So we had that talk already. People were very mad about our conversation, Josue, for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's always good. A lot of people saw it, so that's good. I was surprised how much people on Twitter were going back and forth about it. I didn't see it. You know, I didn't think it would be that many people.
But I think on what now?
I think the fan base is kind of split on this. You know, the whole Banton thing. Like
the
some people
thing,
thought
yeah.
that he could have... You could have given these guys a spark, you know. Now
the point is you had a guy capable of scoring 20, 30 points
right.
in a game.
I think
who
that's
you
what
gave away for nothing.
Right. I think that's the
case. Listen, we know he wouldn't have played here. We know he wouldn't have done that here. But you didn't have to give him away. For nothing.
Yeah.
Right. That's
granted nowadays. Really what it comes down to. There's like 40, 50 players, or maybe a little less than that, but around there that average 20, above 20, or around 20 or so. But I mean, I don't know if you can label him a 20-point scorer, though. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, is the Portland Trailblazers going to ask him to reprise his role in training camp? Right. So it's like, but when you see it, you know, you as Celtics fans, as you know, people who want this team to be the best roster as possible, you know, at this point, or at least trying to add on a couple of guys right before the playoffs. It makes you wonder about Banton.
Similar to Nesmith, Jimmy.
He was able to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's something that you have to lock down your role. And if they don't feel comfortable with you locking that, regardless of how you look after that. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to Nesmith. Only difference is you got something for Nesmith. You got Brogdon, and then that led to Holiday. So that makes it easier to deal with him going elsewhere and looking great. You didn't just cut Nesmith, which is effectively what you did with Bannon. So that was my only point. It's not like it's going to change anything. It's not like you're bummed about being with Cater, because I still think Cater's a great find. I think he's a guy that can develop into something, maybe your backup one day. So amazing find. I said it last night, Jimmy, in my head. You always sat here and said, oh, why can't the Celtics find the Struces and the blah, blah, blahs? And
right.
You found them. You got one in Cater. So congrats. Good story. And congrats to the Maine Celtics, who are now one win from a championship.
In blowout fashion. Yeah, shout out to the Maine Celtics, man.
That's right. And if they – we were – nobody will ever know how close we were to being there tonight for that game, too. Nobody will ever know how close. But maybe maybe next time.
If there's a game three.
Last thing I'll leave you guys with is this. Bobby, you talked about how Tatum has to be the best player on the court. Wednesday night, the Knicks come to town.
Thursday.
Is it Thursday? Yeah, sorry. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Thursday night, the Knicks come to town. Will Tatum... what I'm trying to say is the Knicks have a player on their team that could very well be the best player on the court, not just Thursday, but in a playoff series. In Jalen Brunson, and this guy's had just an unbelievable season. Was in the MVP talks for a bit and all this stuff, and really is the pulse of that team. And the reason
45 points, 8 assists tonight.
He's just playing unbelievable, and it's too bad about Randall and all that stuff. But is this a potential second round matchup that you could see occurring? And if so, how dangerous is this Knicks team, even with the injuries they're going through? Can you take any stock Thursday, or is Thursday, again, another one of those doesn't matter regardless, rest a couple guys maybe? And
yeah, let's see who plays, because if you're missing two centers again,
that's
tough to take anything from it. I mean, you can sit Porzingis, you can sit Horford. It's tough to sit them both. And you've won in the past in those spots, but against a Giannis Lopez kind of situation, it's a little bit tougher. Same would go against, you know, OG and Hartenstein, who's been great, and Robinson, who's getting his feet back under him. So you take a little bit from this one. If they can pull off a win, I think that'll say something. If the Celtics win and advance to 5-0 against them this year, which they're now 4-0 going into it, I don't think anything changes. You feel good about beating that team. They're challenging. It's similar to the Heat. They play a style that would challenge you, that would maybe force you to a sixth and hopefully not a seventh game if you're the Celtics, but you have much more talent top to bottom than that team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You just have to play above the way the Knicks are going to try to muck up the game. And as we talked about earlier, winning crunch time. And fortunately, the Celtics, as they have for much of the season, have been able to pull away from the Knicks a couple times before crunch time. But they had one of their great crunch time efforts, interestingly enough, against the Knicks on opening night. Joe Sway, you were there for that, right? The big Porzingis shot. Some good execution down the stretch of that game. A really close win. I think it was a 4-point game.
They were challenged for sure. Yeah.
And then I think you had another one like that with them too that you executed pretty well. And so it's a team I'd be picking the Celtics over, but I think it could potentially be the toughest team you see down the stretch, you know, Philly and Miami aside.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I would love to see how the Celtics can do against someone like Brunson, you know, defensively. See if they can limit him, make him uncomfortable. You know, I feel like those quick score first point guards, you know, sometimes they have the upper hand against the Celtics, and I just want to see if they can limit him to a mediocre stat line, because he seems to have a stellar night every time he plays Boston. So, but yeah, to Bobby's point though, win or lose, it's hard to take a lot of stock, you know, out of this game or this matchup, because you know they're not going to play all their guys. You just wonder which ones are going to be, you know, whose turn it is to take a break.
I think it could be the last run for the full group, and then sit people on Friday, the back to back, and then Friday really Sunday, sit everybody on Sunday. Yeah,
you sit people for the Grant game.
I think so. We already beat him the other
day. Grant's dropping 20 that night.
Today.
Yeah, Grant is a that, right? Grant is yeah. a more Grant is on Prize Picks. You're hammering more on Prize Picks.
I don't care what the number is. More, yeah, exactly.
I don't care what it is either.
Give him the benefit.
I hope he gets. There's no way he's gonna decline a video, is there, Jimmy?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me, Bobby? He's gonna
do it
himself
and turn it into yeah. the Celtics. Exactly. Be like, yo, I made the best real guys. Don't worry, I got it covered. Like,
yeah, he's gonna grab the microphone and narrate through it. Oh yeah, this is the play where I hit this step back three.
He's gonna say a few words.
He's gonna thank everybody as if like yeah. you know it's like a.
Yeah,
he had 12 points Grant. Against his former Mavericks tonight. So two return games for Grant this week.
Wow, 12 points. Did they win or lose?
After signing a crazy contract.
Or... Let's see. Hornets
Mavs probably won. Mavs is playing pretty well.
Yeah, Mavs won.
Mavs are playing well. You guys? All right, we're gonna end it there. We did over an hour tonight on again. These games are meaningless to the Celtics. But the shows aren't meaningless to us, guys. We like hanging out.
That's right.
Chatting it up and breaking down parts of the game that might matter and talking about what else is going on in the league. That's the best we can do. These are the dog days, the very end of the dog days of the tonight. We want to say one more time, congrats to he's your third center.
What do you want for your third center?
There you go. Taking down the Garden Report bracket in 2024. We will be back Thursday. I don't know if the Boomers will be back. I don't know where they're at, John and Sherrod.
Look at this boomer.
But they will be back.
Damn, yeah, Sherrod caught a stray.
Yeah. We love you. We love you, Sherrod. We love Sherrod. John, that changes daily. But well, I'll be back this week, and we hope to see you guys. All right, so let me go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yo, thank shout you, out Ahmed. To
the, real quick, shout out to the 2004 Red Sox, man. They're in the city. Sure. They got their flowers 20 years ago, or almost 20 years ago.
I can't believe it.
They broke the curse. Yeah, right, Jimmy? It's fucked up. But, hey, time flies, right?
And then never 20 gets years old. Later, the team faded in their relevancy.
I still get the goosebumps and all that when I see those highlights. And, yes, Bobby, that's still going to be what people are talking about after the outcome of that game. But it's nice to look back at 04. And, of course, such a great emotional tribute to Tim Wakefield and just the rest. Yeah. Like they're similar to what the Celtics do. You know, in terms of that, the people getting their flowers and all that, those pregame ceremonies stuff, man, they're so good at that. And today was exactly what we've come to expect from this organization. But yeah, it was really cool to see a lot of those guys from the team back and back in the city.
You went
back at Fenway. No, I didn't go to the game, but I saw the ceremony. Okay. You know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. No, it looked like a great ceremony. You get the Red Sox shirt on, so I thought maybe you came from the game or something.
I know. No, I just feel like wearing it after watching that, to be honest with you.
Dude, that was unreal. I was at game three. I was at game three of the ALCS when they got absolutely smoked. And
that Saturday when they got smoked? Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was in the bleachers. I had a sign that said believe that I was holding up. They were down like 18 or whatever. And the broadcast actually, if anyone has like a copy of the DVD, I'd love to see the clip, but they like showed me like with the sign.
It flashed it.
Oh, you're in the 04 documentary.
And I think Joe Buck was
in
like
the dynasty.
He was like not much to believe in anymore, and I was like, "F you, Joe Buck! Like, suck it. Sucks. Never lost after
he was such a Yankees fan.
So yeah. You're in the what dynasty. 19-9
or something like that. Yeah, that was Bobby, that was it. That was the last game they lost.
Integral part of the last two decades of success.
We gotta get you in this 2024 Celtics documentary somehow.
Yeah,
maybe they'll throw a Garden Report clip in. Jimmy saying, "I don't believe in it."
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah, I wonder.
DJ Thurston is gonna make it.
40s in October. But yeah, that was an unbelievable time. That was like, man, we didn't know how good we had it for those Red Sox.
I miss that team meaning something. I mean, it's good or bad. Them being irrelevant is brutal.
I know. Just brutal. I used to be. So I think it goes for a lot of people probably watching the show too. Like we used to just be like Red Sox were the team. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like you lived and died by.
Could you ever imagine the Celtics being this much more relevant than the Red Sox?
Yeah, right, Jimmy.
Well, back in the '80s, they were.
No, I mean like once the Red Sox went like four and really got rolling. Yeah.
No, but that 2007-08 Celtics team really put the Celtics pride back near where it needed to be. And it's stayed pretty level since then. I mean, the other teams have explode. Yeah,
those Red Sox seasons.
So,
we used to know when Pedro was pitching.
Oh my god! Everyone knew the city would shut down. The city would stop. Everyone was appointment television. You can't even name two pitchers in the Red Sox right now. Unfortunately, all these pitchers are going down, and getting hurt too. It's really a sad situation going on. But
Bayo still. He's still healthy.
He's still good.
Started today, yeah.
We just lost Pivetta today, but we don't need to get into it. But but yeah, Sox, man. Hopefully they can get back to where they need to be someday. I don't know when. I don't know what needs to happen. I don't know if it's a Red Sox thing or it's a baseball thing or it's both.
No, it's a Red
Sox. Man, that Red Sox rivalry is just nothing right now. Nobody gives a crap about it. It's sad, man. It used to be like genuine hatred amongst fan bases for those two teams, and it was something that you just can't even explain, really. If you weren't there to live it, it's hard to even believe it, you know. Yeah, but
it was everywhere too.
That was then. We'll see what happens. But right now, it's Celtics. It's Bruins. The Bruins are starting the playoff run coming up too. The TD Garden is going to be very busy. We hope that it's going to be a busy couple months at the TD Garden for both sides.
But the Bruins, there's no way it can finish worse than last year. That's what you're riding into the playoffs, holding your hope out for.
If you are a Bruins fan, CLNS has a great Bruins podcast with Joe Haggerty, Hacks with Hags. Who can forget that? We're going to have some Red Sox content, I imagine, coming up. Sean, Evan Marinovsky does a lot of good Bruins stuff too.
What up, Evan?
Yes, sir. So, keep it locked on CLNS, guys. We're going to have you guys covered every which way. We get the NFL draft coming up, too. I know Taylor's going hard on the draft coverage right now. So you want to hit up the Patriots page on our YouTube site and follow them on Twitter. Nobody has a clue what the Pats are going to do at number 3. Nobody has a damn clue, and I love it. Nobody has a clue. Isn't it crazy? They could draft
Daniels. There's nothing more fun than talking about the draft.
They could draft McCarthy. They could trade out. Like, I think we've narrowed it down to like quarterback or a trade. Like no one's saying Harrison anymore, but nobody has a clue who they're going to take. So, and I that includes me. And I don't know. I don't want to pretend to know who they should take because I really don't know. But
do you feel trade out as a homage to Bill Belichick or no?
No.
I hope. I just hope they get the guy they want. If he's there, just freaking take him. If he's not, then yeah, trade it. That's really all I can ask for. All right. This is the final goodbye for real this time. I am going to hit the outro. We'll see you guys.
We out.
Thursday. Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair. What do you want for your third center?